Notes from America is supported by Future Hindsight, an award-winning podcast that shares big ideas about participating in American democracy, beyond voting, but short of running for office. Join host Mila Atmos for stimulating and incisive conversations with citizen changemakers on topics ranging from gerrymandering, policing equity, and voting rights. In this election year, Future Hindsight offers an unaffiliated perspective into what's at stake and how citizens can make an impact at the local, state, and national level. You'll always come away with something hopeful. Tune in every Thursday to get engaged and stay engaged. WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I didn't grow up near a coastline, so I was an adult before I began to even think about the ocean, and maybe that's why I've got such a funny relationship to it. Or maybe this is common, I don't know, but I am so deeply drawn to the water and its enormity, the mysteries that lurk underneath it, while also terrified of those mysteries. And not just the sharks and jellyfish and undercurrents and all that, those physical dangers do shake me, trust. But I'm talking about something spookier. There's so much history in that water, so much lost memory.
A podcast and reporting project from National Geographic called Into the Depths invites us to rediscover some of those memories. It's hosted by National Geographic storyteller and explorer Tara Roberts. And I spoke with Tara back in 2022 when the show first aired. Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So this project was actually 2 years in the making, and it all started at the National Museum of African American History in D.C. when you saw an image on the wall of these black scuba divers, mostly women, I believe. Tell us about that image and why it struck you so much.
It's a little crazy, Guy, because it's a great picture, but some kind of way that picture, it went up a level in my imagination. And I actually thought I saw something that wasn't there. Like in my imagination, when I saw that picture, it was like the women were standing up on the boat. They had capes on, their hair was flowing in the wind.
Wow.
For whatever reasons, those
capes.
It was literally like the capes were blowing in the wind and they were standing up there looking like superheroes. That's how I remembered the photo. And then a couple of years later, I was like, oh, let me go look at that picture again. And I was like, it looks nothing like what it did in my imagination. And it's still a great picture. But there was something about seeing these black women participating in an activity that I'd never really seen a group of black women do before. And then when I read the placard about who they are and what they were doing, I discovered that they were a part of this group called Diving with a Purpose, and that part of their mission was to search for and help document slave shipwrecks around the world. And so that just blew me away. I think there was something about this story that felt really important to me. I thought the work itself was revolutionary, like black divers searching for slave shipwrecks. Like, what? That's crazy.
And you talk in the podcast, you know, about the power of stories, your belief in the power of stories. Can you talk a little bit about that? What you think is important about stories in the first place?
I think stories are the way we make sense of the world. I think they help us understand ourselves, understand each other better. There's this beautiful quote that Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, the Nigerian writer, says, and I'm I'm going to butcher it, but let me summarize sort of what she said. She said that, in essence, stories were the greatest vehicle for empathy. Because through a story, you could really understand a person. You could understand an event in a way that maybe you couldn't before. There's a lot of truth in that. And this story in particular feels really important. And it feels really important to be told by different voices because it hasn't been told before. Like there's a whole bit about the global slave trade, about these wrecks that just, it doesn't exist in our history books. We're not taught it. So to have these people who are out there trying to bring this history, these lost stories back into human memory, just feels so powerful to me.
And I mean, these Black people out there trying to bring this Black story back into our memories seems really powerful in that specific way.
Yeah, definitely. One of the statistics that I learned early on that I always talk about because it really illustrates the power and the necessity of Black people telling this story. So 1.8 million Africans died in the Middle Passage. 1.8 million Africans died in the Middle Passage. Yeah. There's no one grieving those people, mourning those people. There are no memorials to that magnitude of loss of life. But then you have these Black scuba divers who are going down, who are finding stories, who are bringing that memory back up to the surface. And that just feels so profound to me. There's a thing that a historian from the National Museum of African American History and Culture, Mary Elliott, said in one of the interviews that we did with her. I love it. And essentially she says what she wants the ancestors to know, what she wants those lost souls to know, is that we didn't forget about you. We actually came looking for you. When she says that, it that is power. Do you know that is a healing circle that's in effect there. Yeah. And that's only something that we can do.
Well, with that in mind, I know you say in the podcast that you are not into church, you don't do church, but the blessing from your mother's pastor and his advice to connect with the spiritual as you do this work moved me. Let's take a listen to that.
As you are doing this work, you're doing it in the outer. That's your research, you're gathering information. That's great. Take it to the next level. Do that spiritual work. Meaning get in tune, if you can get in tune with the essence, the spirit of those of our ancestors who were lost during that Middle Passage, invite them, invite their blessing on the work. You can do so by your prayer meditation. You come across names, speak their names, speak the names, speak the names, and then ask them to bless you.
So just take us a bit to that moment with the bishop. What did it bring up for you, and how did it shape the journey you then embarked on?
Changed everything. Like it added a layer that, quite honestly, I had not been thinking about. When I started this journey, I was really thinking about these divers. Like the stories of just Black folks in the ocean that felt like it upended the ideas that exist about who Black people could be in the world. And that felt enormous. So that was my entree into this work. But it wasn't until Bishop Jack, his name is Bishop Jack Bomar from Hillside International Chapel and Truth Center in Atlanta, Georgia.
Name it.
Hello. He said, speak their names. So we're speaking his names. Yes. He came to my mom's house to bring her an Easter basket. And I was there. And he said, you were called to do this work. So what it did for me was like it really brought home the possibility of healing. And for that healing to be a healing that travels in the past and exists in the present. So it's like a healing that moves throughout time. And that when that happened, we had started working on the podcast and we were trying to figure out, how do we tell this story? But Bishop Jack saying, you have to speak their names, just clicked so much for us. Because we were like, yes, these are not faceless statistics in a cargo hold, which is how most of that moment of time is thought of. It's like all the horror and the violence.
And that image that we all see, well, at least Black people see growing up, the drawing of bodies packed into the bottom of a slave ship. That's what we think of.
Right, right. You don't see individuals inside of that. So we decided to thread these names throughout the podcast. And we also brought in our resident poet, this amazing National Geographic explorer, Aaliyah Pierce, who's a spoken word artist, to help us imagine their journeys.
Can you hear it? Are you really listening?
And not just their journeys in death, but like their journeys as souls, as spirits, as something more than, again, just these bodies in a hold.
This hollow theater made of iron and wood brought together an orchestra of people across the continent. Instruments of human body and voice and ship crescendo into a song of strategy. Sounds of revolt amplifying through the very fibers of the floor.
And as you're doing this diving, as they're doing this diving and searching, I mean, what does it actually look like? What does the work actually look like? Because I imagine, you know, I grew up watching Goonies.
Wow, you guys realize what we could do?
And like, you know, you find this whole intact ship and there's a pirate skeleton and gold and all the rest.
You guys, just what if this map could lead to One-Eyed Willie's rich stuff?
Maybe.
Then we wouldn't have to leave the Goonies.
But that's not it. That's not the vision. Like, what is the actual work look like?
Okay, I totally have to laugh. I was so expecting you to say the Titanic, but you went to the Goonies.
No, I'm older than the Titanic, friend.
The Goonies is a much stronger image. I feel you on that. No, so these wrecks are usually not intact like that. Most of them were built in the 1600s and 1700s. So they were built primarily out of wood. And that means that when they wrecked, they splintered. They wrecked in pieces. And so pieces are on the ocean floor. And over the centuries, coral retakes those pieces. Marine life overtakes them. The sandy seafloor might cover them. So it's really hard to see. Like, it takes a trained eye to know sort of what kind of things to look for.
And like, what are those kind of things? What are they looking for?
Well, first, the search starts in the archives, and it's the archives that give you a sense of where wrecks happened. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these ships were actually insured. And so when they wrecked, the financial backers and the ship's captains would file insurance claims. And so the insurance companies would come in and investigate, and that left a paper trail. Sometimes there are even court testimonies. There might be crew logs, just a whole lot of paperwork. So historians and archaeologists go through the archives. They locate the area where the wrecking event might have happened. And there are things like particular artifacts that are particular to a slave ship. For instance, you find a huge pile of bricks or ballast stones. That could be indication of a slave ship because they would use that weight to counterbalance the weight of human beings that were in the cargo hold.
It's Notes from America. We'll be right back.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.
We learn a lot about you in the course of this podcast, and you have a lot of emotional moments and go on a real journey here. And I want to play one piece of this journey that really struck me. This is a conversation you had while you were in West Africa. Let's listen to this, and then I'm going to ask you to provide a little context.
Breaks my heart that Black people in America have to go through so much in a place where for hundreds of years they have considered as home. Even though I don't understand what you go through, a huge part of me knows that you are also part of me. And if I could, I would help, but just know that you're in my mind in a way, and I know your struggle, and I'm really sorry that you have to go through that, and it's really unfair that you have to go through that.
What happened for you in this moment, and in more broadly, how did this work change you?
It's still actually hard to listen to that without feeling a little emotional. Before this, because of all the things that were happening in the United States around race and identity, like I had this question throughout all of this work, like, where's home for me? Where's home for us as Black people? Can these slave ships help us feel a sense of belonging, a sense of home? So that was one of the underlying questions that I had as I embarked on this journey. And then I went back to Africa like, hi, I'm here. And I'm not like a naive traveler. I've lived in Zimbabwe before. I've traveled throughout the continent. But this was the first time that I went back with like, I'm searching for my roots, slave ship wrecks, ancestry. Hi, I'm here. And I did not get the reception that I expected to get.
Right.
So right before that clip, Anna is breaking down some other realities that I'm like, oh. She's like, okay, dude, it's not this one big happy Black family. That's not kind of how we look at you guys. And I was pretty devastated to hear that. And I had to go talk to some friends to begin to put that into context. And I realized just how much I don't know about Africa, how much I have not thought about it outside of the sort of Western colonial way that we approach the continent. So there was a lot of learning for me. And then Anna says this thing where I was like, she does feel connected. And I just did not know how much I really needed to hear that.
Yeah.
And what's amazing to me is a number of other Black Americans who have listened to the podcast have sent me notes that moment trips them up a little bit too. And it tells me that there is a healing that is out there for us. So it's still in process. I'm still like digesting, interpreting, processing that, but it does feel like something has moved. There's more possibility in thinking of who we are and who we might be outside of these narratives that we've been given as Black folks.
Tara Roberts is a National Geographic storyteller and explorer and host of the podcast Into the Depths. You can check it out on nationalgeographic.com or wherever you get your podcast. Tara, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Notes from America is a production of WNYC Studios. Before we go, last week we kicked off our second annual Notes from America summer playlist. It's our effort to crowdsource, with your help, a soundtrack for the long, sunny days of summer, and we want to hear from you.
What's a song that represents your personal diaspora story? Go to notesfromamerica.org and leave us a voice message right there on the site with your song and your story. Theme music and mixing by Jared Paul. Reporting, producing, and editing by Billy Estrin, Karen Frillman, Regina Dehir, Rahima Nassa, Kusha Navadar, and Lindsay Foster Thomas. Andre Robert Lee is our executive producer, and I am Kai Wright. Happy 4th of July.